There shall be whipping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord bless the reading of His holy word. Yesterday, we saw how a true Christian ought to be one who is ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the signs of His coming being spoken of in Matthew chapter 24, in the beginning of the Olivet Discourse. And as one who is aware of the signs of Christ's coming, there is no excuse, there is no reason for us not to be prepared or to be vigilant concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we had the parable of the 10 virgins. And in the parable of the 10 virgins, the groom, well, they knew that the groom is to arrive at the house. The wise ones, they prepared the oil for the lamp. The foolish ones did not bring oil. And they knew that the groom would likely come at the late of the night. And yet they were not prepared. How foolish. And in the end, well, the wise entered into the house of the groom and they had the privilege of partaking in the festivities, but not the foolish. And this tells us that, you know, those who are true Christians, one evidence that of true Christians will be that of being ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the parable, in verse 13, we have this command by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at verse 13, God's word says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Watch therefore. But what do we mean by watch? Now, when we talk about this command, watch, it does not mean that a person should watch and be idle. Sometimes people have this misconception or wrong thinking, you know, that when we talk about watching or waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like, just watch and do nothing. It does not mean, to watch does not mean that we live a life of idleness and wantonness. It does not mean that we can do whatever we want. We can indulge in our sinful desires and lusts and go about committing evil and wickedness and then expect one day we will be found in heaven. That is a wrong and foolish thinking. And some people simply think that, I call myself a Christian and then I profess that I believe in Christ. And since, once saved, always saved. So no problem, I just go about in life. My sins are already forgiven. No need to obey the Lord. And all is well with my soul. No, what is required really is to live a life of faith and obedience. Yes, our life must be one that is controlled by the Bible. Yes, we must have Bible blood in us. And people sometimes go about in life thinking that all is well with their soul, when actually all is not well. And for some, the deception can even be very deep. They tell themselves, so long as I am found studying the Bible, I can read my Bible 40 times, I can memorize a lot of verses, and then all is right with my life. But when they study the Bible, when they memorized their verses, they were not doing so with the eyeglasses of faith. It's not a faithful reading of God's word, but really want to tickle their own minds to convince themselves, oh, just because I have read the Bible many, many times before, just because I have memorized many verses before, and therefore they think that they are righteous and no problem with their life. But actually in their own hearts, they have never committed their lives truly to a faithful obedience of the Holy Scriptures and to the Lord Jesus Christ. They live a life of hypocrisy. And really, this parable speaks against such a thinking. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to leave us in no doubt that when he talks about how we should watch for his coming, that no, a Christian must be one who is living a life of faith and obedience. He must be a faithful servant of Christ, a faithful slave of Christ. Now, you watch this parable. Now, in this parable begins with a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them goods. And what we have down here really is a picture of a provisional governor or a vassal king who is making a trip to report to the real king or the emperor. And that is very common in those days of the Roman Empire. Sometimes yearly, sometimes biannually, after a certain period of time, they are required to report and to bring their tribute to the emperor. And so this man was about to depart, and he has his own servants, and here the word servants is the word doulos, that is bond slave. So he has some slaves with him, and we know that slaves are supposed to have no rights. Whatever the master tells them to do, they are supposed to do. And so this man left for this far country, and he told them, look, I want you to engage in trade and gain. Whatever talents I have given to you, I expect you to make good use of these talents. Now, here the talents, please do not think of the human talents, right? The talents here really refers to money, right? I expect you to use whatever money, whatever goods I have given to you. You invest wisely, you do good business, and when I come back, I expect to see you engage in such faithful business. And so he went. Well, what happened? Well, the first servant, well, that received 5 talents, he did faithfully. He went to trade, and with these 5 talents, you know, he managed to gain a profit of another 5 talents. You know, that is good. And then you have another servant, and this servant went to trade, and this is the servant, this is the slave that had 2 talents, and he traded, and then he also gained 2 talents. But there was one who was extremely lazy and slothful. He knew that as a slave, he should listen to the command of his master. He knew that. And yet he had the guts, the gumption, to take the 1 talent which the Lord has given to him, his master has given to him, and dig it in the earth and to hide that talent. Well, he can do so. But one day, the master will return. And the master will ask for account of the activities of the slaves, which he did. And so, he came, and then he asked the one that had 5 talents, well, what do you do with the 5 talents? And then the one with the five talents say, well, look, well, with these five talents, I have gained another five talents. And the master was very happy. Well, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, very fair and very just. And then after that, there was the one with the two talents who reported to the Lord. And again, the Lord dealt with him very justly. Well, you have these two talents. You did faithfully in gaining another two talents. Well done. Well, this was a master that was very just, very good, and very good. Very kind. Very benevolent. But what happened to the one who had initially had that one talent? Well, observe the words of this slave. Okay, look at verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. Now that is a most unreasonable answer. How can that be? It was an excuse that is really no excuse. We have seen the conduct of the master with regards to the previous two servants. He was a good master. He was a kind master. He was a fair and just master. And yet you look at the words of this servant. He dared to accuse the master of this. I knew that thou art a hard man. Well, is that true? And then he said about his master, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Well, he's using this as an excuse, but it's also a misrepresentation of his master. It is not true that his master was such a hard man. Well, this person had, well, very clever with his words. You know, in trying to find an excuse, actually, he was indirectly pointing the finger back at the master. Well, what was the judgment of the master? Well, in verse 26, the master answered, and the way he judged was most sharp, most just, and most righteous, and most appropriate. Thou wicked and slothful servant. He called him for who he is. This is the truth about him. He was a wicked and slothful servant. No, a slave is supposed to work for the master. He did not work at all. He was not faithful to the task that he was given to do. He was not obedient to the master. Now, even if you say that, even if what you say is true, that I'm indeed a master who reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed, then surely you ought to have this common sense of at least putting it in the bank. Why do you bury it in the ground? You should have put it in the bank, and at least I can have some interest. Even that little bit of interest is at least some gain. But you didn't even bother to do that. You just go and bury the talent. And so therefore, the judgment was one that was severe, one that was final. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him that have 10 talents, and then cast this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, the servant was totally rejected and severely punished. And what is the application for us? What is the lesson for us? Well, similarly, we have our Lord, right, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has ascended into heaven. He's also the one who has redeemed us from our sins. You know, we have experienced the rich mercies of God. And now we are really His slaves, isn't it? We owe everything to God. And so therefore, it is most reasonable for the Lord to expect us to live a life that is wholly consecrated to Him. It is His demand that we should live a life of faith and obedience. And this master that we have is a most fair, a most just, a most loving, and a most good master. Just imagine, while we were yet His enemies, He saved us. And surely, that demands us that we should also love our master and be a faithful servant unto Him, isn't it? That should be the right kind of response from us. And in fact, anyone who is a true Christian should be like this. A true Christian should be one whose life is transformed from the inside out. He should be one who is bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be one who is engaged in loving, fervent, and zealous service for Him. Whatever the Lord has given to Him, right? And the Lord has given unto us, or every Christian, if you are truly born again, the Lord has given to you spiritual gifts. Oh, we should use the spiritual gifts to glorify His name, for the edifying of the saints, for the extension of Christ's kingdom. And then He has also given us possessions. Yes, there are those whom He has given more. And there are those who has given a little lesser, but whatever He has given to us, you know, we are stewards of that which He has given to us, and every one of us is given a body. Well, we are expected to use everything that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we doing that in our lives? That is what is expected of a believer. In fact, a true believer, because he knows, firstly, that he is a slave, and secondly, that he is a most willing slave, well, we'll most happily serve the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. He understands Romans 12, 1 to 2 in its fullness. And what is Romans 12, 1 to 2? Well, many of us know. It talks about how the Lord, by His mercies, have saved us, and how we as servants of the Most High God ought to consecrate our bodies as a living sacrifice unto Him, one that is wholly acceptable before Him. And of course, to do that, we need to constantly renew our mind. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when we transform with renewing of our mind, when we have a sound mind, it would result in sound speech, sound service. Yes, the Lord expects us to be faithful servants. But on the other hand, there are also false believers who will also masquerade as saints, and they are very good at it. Well, they come into churches. Yes, they sit beside many to study God's word. They may even spout the same Christian jargon and lingo. And every one of them have two eyes, one nose, one mouth. And they come and they sometimes befriend us. And just because they are found in church, they think that all is well with them. And sometimes they convince themselves, just because I'm found in fellowship groups, I'm found in FEBC night classes, I'm found in I found in the church on Sunday service, oh, all is fine in our lives, and some may even go for further theological studies, and they think that, well, necessarily they are a true Christian. Well, very soon the day of reckoning will come. And when the day of reckoning comes, the Lord is going to judge fairly and justly. Nothing can escape His eyes. He knows. He knows perfectly. And so really what we have seen in the morning devotions, right, these three messages, right, to deal with the evidences of a true Christian, we pray that, you know, everyone will consider what is written in God's Word very seriously and carefully, to truly examine our lives, to be very sure of our salvation. To those of us who have not truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we really pray that you will come and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You will give your lives fully unto Him. Know how He has come to this world to live for us, to keep the Ten Commandments for us, and then He died and shed His precious blood on the cross, and then He was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead for the justification of our sins. Embrace Him, repent from your sin, and embrace Him as your Lord and Savior. And for those of us who are Christians, well, may we be encouraged to look forward to our blessed hope, and right, not just look for, but really look forward. It's a hope that we have with great expectancy, and to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Right, that is what we need to do. Right, the Lord, right, expects us all to be faithful servants. Yeah, indeed, a true Christian will be a faithful servant. The question then is this: are we faithful?